Well, here we are on the fourth petition. We're over halfway through. Isn't there a lot to the Lord's Prayer so far? Today, we get into really what I would call the second part of the prayer, and it's how we respond to prayer in terms of what God has given us, and then how we can respond not only to Him, but to one another. So let's continue with, first of all, the catechism part from Martin Luther. I'll ask, and you respond with what's in italics. What is the fourth petition? Okay, what does this mean? It's hard to do something with a lot of gusto and be loud when it's so long, isn't it? It takes so much breath out of you. Let's do a little bit better. I'll help you. What is meant by daily bread? Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. So I'll leave that up on the screen. How many of you have an experience with, you know, from your history growing up, with fresh baked bread? Anybody here at all? Raise your hands. Go ahead. Good. I have too. When I was growing up, especially when we lived on the farm, my mom and dad used to make bread together, and it was kind of neat to watch them make it together. It was one of the things they loved to do. And so on a cold winter's day, I can remember coming in from outside. There'd be a fire stoked in the fireplace, and you would smell fresh baked bread. It's like dying and going to heaven. Walk in, and I could hardly wait for it to be cooled down to the point we could slob a lot of butter on it. Yeah, on the farm, we had real butter. And we would just eat that bread before the meal, and then there wouldn't be any room at all left for peas and broccoli. Whenever I smell fresh baked bread, I immediately transport back to those days, and I get a warm feeling inside. Ah, fresh baked bread. But let's broaden our horizons just a little bit, if you would, with me today concerning this petition. There's an insert inside of your bulletin, and I'll be kind of using that a little bit, somewhat, but that's really for you to take home as kind of a review. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to put this sermon into four why questions, okay? Four why questions. The first why is, why ask at all? Because God gives it anyway, right? So say that with me. God gives it anyway. God gives it anyway. Liver and onions? God gives it anyway. Cheerios? God gives it anyway. Motor oil? 30 or 10W30? God gives it anywhere. Eyeliner? God gives it anyway. Lip gloss? God gives it anyway. How about your job? God gives it anyway. Your boss? God gives it anyway. How about your mom and dad, your brothers and sisters, grandma and grandpa, your children? God gives them anyway. Isn't that something about the nature of God? So why ask anyway? Do you know there's a Bible verse that goes this way? God causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God gives it anyway, even to people that hate Him, despise Him, won't recognize Him, and even attack His church. God gives it anyway. So why should we pray? I'll tell you why. Your attitude matters. Your faith matters. The spirit of your heart makes a difference. Why? Because once we see that all things come from God and return to Him, we humble ourselves before the Lord and we live under His provision. We have a working relationship with God that's proper and correct. And that, my friends, makes all the difference in the world. We understand then why He gave Jesus Christ as a sacrifice on the cross for the sins of the world. We see that personally as making a difference to me, that God loves me, and now we can respond properly. This attitude is huge. It is a biggie. When we get to that point that we appreciate God for all He does for us, our lives grow in a relationship with Him. You know what I was doing with the kids here? I see God at work every day in a magical dance for me and for you. A magical dance. As I look out and I see farmers prepping the fields, ready to plant, God's dance has begun. I see it when I drive by a factory and I see the wheels turning as the product gets ready to be turned out. God is at work in a magical dance. As I walk in the store and I experience commerce, even though I pay out the money that's in my own wallet, I understand that it's part of a bigger picture. God at work in a cool, awesome, amazing dance at work. And then I say, He's doing this for me? Yeah. Is He doing it for the people in my church? Yeah, my family, right. Is He doing it even for the evil and wicked people of the world? Yes, and hopefully they'll wake up. I hope you do too. God is great and merciful, and He cares about His creation, and He cares about you. Now the second why question, why pray today? Here's the answer right off the bat. Jesus wants us to be content with what He gives us today so that we don't stress out and worry tomorrow, because there's just stuff you can't control. Does that mean we don't do any prep for tomorrow? No, not at all. But it does say, you know what? There's going to be things that happen tomorrow that's beyond my control. I'm not going to worry about them today because God is good today. That's all I need. So Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We're instructed to take care of our daily bread for today. Remember the Israelites in the desert. God said to them, here's your food, manna and quail. Collect enough for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. And those who were worried about tomorrow and collected for the next day, it all rotted. You know as well as I do that we're collecting all kinds of stuff today that's rotten by tomorrow. We got stuff in our houses and cars that are rotting away. We'll never use, but we thought we would need them, right? I got a snowblower. I bought it the year before I came here. It's not being used. It's just sitting in the garage like a lawnmower. I was all worried about having those things in case the lawn grew. Of course it would. Or the snow fell. Of course it did. I got all worried. Am I going to be able to afford these things? Oh, I better have the biggest and best, right? Ah. We worry too much sometimes. You know what? Retirement scares me. Anybody scared about retirement? Some of you are in retirement. You're already scared. You know, they put these commercials on the TV, and I wonder if sometimes they are the way that they are on TV just to scare us into buying their product. Do you really need all that? Do you really? Or do you just want to be rich in your retirement so you can sit back and say, oh, I'll eat, drink, and be merry. These are my golden years, right? Ah. What about taking care of your neighbor, your family, your friends, reaching out to those in need, making sure the kingdom of God will be extended through your church? Are you thinking about those things? Have you put aside a gift for the church in all of that? You see what I'm saying? We're worried about our retirement, but we're not concerned about the real big things of life. When I built my log home, everything was being prepped and ready, and they dug the hole for the basement. This guy drives by. He looked like Ernest B. Bass from Andy Griffith, or Ernest T. Bass. You know this guy from Andy Griffith? He looked just like him. And he comes up to me in his car, and he brings this brochure to me, and he says, "I see you're building a house. You need an apocalypse shelter." And he tried to sell me an apocalypse shelter for the basement of my house, just in case the apocalypse comes. You got to be ready for tomorrow. And I said, "Friend, if the apocalypse comes, I'm not going to be here. Why do I need that shelter?" And he just looked at me oddly. And I said, "Well, the Lord's going to take me. I don't have to be concerned about an apocalypse shelter." Do you realize everybody in fitness today seems to be promoting yoga? You see that? And I sometimes wonder if people aren't doing yoga so that when they grow older, they'll have a decent enough body that they'll be happy in their old age. People take supplements and all kinds of stuff, hoping that when their old age comes, they'll be in good shape. Do you think some people worry too much about this? Do I look like I'm worried about my health? God says, and this is a summary of the Bible, lose everything that keeps you from being content with God today. Today. Number three, why pray for our bread? That's simple. Because you're supposed to share. Give us today our daily bread. Why our? Because you're supposed to share, and so am I. We're not supposed to hoard it all for ourselves. The Bible says, "Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Now, I'm going to try something with you that we used in our home, okay? What's mine is yours. Will you say that? What's mine is yours. Good, I'll be over for lunch. What are you having? What's mine is yours. Do you feel good sometimes when you share? Do you feel good about it? You get this good feeling after you share with somebody. You would have never thought about doing it before, but you tried it, and now you feel good. Even more so, you shared with somebody you don't know that might be using what you shared for no good purpose. But still, you shared, and now you feel good. Do you know why that is? Why do you feel good? Because inside of you, God built in this spirit of joy that we're all supposed to have as we share. Now, we've muddled it up. We've messed it up. And now some of us feel good to the point that we say to God, "See, I did a good work, God. Aren't you happy with me?" That's not where that's supposed to go. Where it is supposed to go is now we're all happy together because God's been good. It is a response to the wonderful nature of God. That's why people feel good. They just don't know why they feel good. So we as Christians, we know why, and we share for different reasons. And yes, we're supposed to share, which takes us to the last why question. Why does God give daily bread? Why does God do it? Why does He give it? Well, for the Christian, the answer is simple. Because it is the means and the strength by which we can serve Him. God gives daily bread. For Christians, we understand that this is given so that our lives might be in total a life of service. 24/7, everything we have, all that we are, to serve him. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. You know, God's not an ATM machine. God's not an ATM machine. You know, you drive up to an ATM, you give it whatever it needs in terms of information, and it spits out what you want, and away you go. And you forget about the process, you move on. That's not God. You are accountable for everything that you get and receive, including the water you drink, the air you breathe, the food you eat, the house you live in. You are going to be held responsible. You are held responsible for each and everything that you have, even the clothing on your back. You will have to give an accounting of all of it, even as you are making an accounting of it right now with the life that you live. There are strings attached to everything that you think is your own. Isn't that interesting? The Bible spells that out quite clearly. Now, of course, the good thing is we can repent. The good thing is we can grow and get better at being servants. Now, the good thing is that we have Christ as a means for our forgiveness, life, and salvation. We have a wonderful representative that taught us and instilled in us that everything we have and get comes from God and will return to Him. Jesus wasn't given a whole lot. He didn't want it. He didn't need it. His only purpose in life was to have passion for you, to give his life on the cross as a sacrifice for your sins, and to be raised so that you would have the hope of eternal life yourself. That's what he was about. And he set the standard for each and every one of us that we too might respond in kind. Don't go home thinking, this is mine, mine, mine. Don't go home thinking that you have what you have because God wants it to be yours alone. That's the wrong attitude. And that'll keep you from a right relationship with God. And that will steal away from you the joy of having the things you have for the right reasons, purposes. And there is a joy with all of that stuff that's there for you. Now, at the bottom of that insert, I'm going to give you something different in terms of something practical for your prayer life today. And it goes together with the children's message, and I'll just read what I have. After supper, get your kids to stay at the table. Now, that's the big thing, right? Sit down and have supper together. Keep the kids there. Get a sheet of paper and a pencil. Ask them to trace back the journey the bread on the table took to get to your table. Try to go all the way back to the bread's beginning with the farmer. Try not to forget a single step and all the people that are involved if you can. The purpose is to share the absolute need for God to orchestrate this complex journey from the bread's beginning to the table so that we might have a better understanding of how God sustains and keeps all things and be thankful. Then, along with that, be able to serve God in that process. To be able to serve, you might not be the farmer. You might not be a member of the factory or work for the factory. You might not even be involved in selling that bread. But there's a place we all play in the journey of bread to the table. Locate your spot. Serve God and love Him only. In Jesus' name, amen.